Take your Bible, open it up to Isaiah 51. God has been saying something on the Courage Tour. My Bible, every time I'm opening it these days, it's opening up to certain verses. How many of you are happy you're coming to the morning meetings? This is like the secret meeting. Glory, glory, glory. Here's a word for you. I can walk around now and literally point to you on the chest and go, this is for you. So I want you to say, this is for me. Isaiah 51, verses 15 and 16. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts is his name. At Passover, God wants us to remember, he's the one that put a mark upon the house of the people of God. Now, they had to obey God and stay in the perimeter that God gave them. But if they stayed in the boundary God gave them, the death angel could not touch them. If America continues in its direction like a prodigal, you must be careful not to get sucked into what Brother Mario Murillo said last night and the other night, which is the love of many grows cold. Remember this, lawlessness makes you feel like, oh, what's the use trying to be a good person, a righteous person? Lawlessness is, the whole system's corrupt, but be very careful. You're not building on America as your foundation, you're building on the Word of God. Therefore, when everything starts to shake, you're supposed to be a contrast. You're not supposed to be part of the contagiousness. You're supposed to be the, oh, what's up with you? Because you don't shake when they shake. You're unplugged. Do you remember Brother Bill Federer talking about the Wesley brothers were on their way to the United States traveling with the Moravians, and the Moravians were in a big storm, and they thought they were going to drown, and the Moravians are, hallelujah, hallelujah. And there's the Wesley brothers, brilliant Oxford-educated men that are going to lead the Methodist Church, and they're going, what more have they done than we've done? We've gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We studied the Word of God and prayed. That's what they called the Methodists. They had a methodology for seeking God. And they've got what we don't have. What do they have? They had the Holy Ghost. The Lord told me when I got this phone call from Mike Kratz, Senator Mike Kratz, got a word from God from Kim Clement, say that, did I already tell you this story here? I can't tell what city I'm in when I'm telling these stories anymore. I'm in one city after another. I'll tell it again. So the deal is Mike Kratz gets a word, him and his wife Phyllis, and it's from Kim Clement, young in ministry. He says, the word of the Lord says you're going to have a son named Caleb. He's going to walk in the same political steps as his father, and the Lord's called you into political office. Basically, it's a call, it's like a prophecy for government. Mike was a real estate guy. Well, he runs for state senator, and while he's running for Senate, he has a heart attack and dies. I know this because he sends me a video from the ambulance where they're trying to resuscitate him. Paramedics get there, they're trying to get him. They can't resuscitate him. They stick him, I have a little clock counter going on there. He gets stuck in the back of the ambulance. Ambulance goes up to the hospital. The hospital can't resuscitate him. They call his wife Phyllis in. They say, your husband is an organ donor according to his driver's license. We just needed to sign a few documents. We got to get them out now. She said, you're not taking any organs out of him. They're just brand new Christians. We got a prophecy. He's not supposed to die yet. So she starts prophesying over her dead husband's body. Michael, the word of the Lord says you're going to have a son, going to have a son named Caleb, and he's going to walk the same political steps as his father. Now they just adopted a little boy, 2 years old, named Caleb. They were trying to fulfill the prophecy. And so they have a little boy. He hasn't walked in the, you aren't even in politics. How can you fulfill the word of training your son? The word of the Lord says, and she's prophesying away. Well, the doctors exchange knowing looks, dealing with the delirious Pentecostal, and they call security and they say, listen, we got a crazy lady, get her out. The police come in, sorry ma'am, and she realizes, nobody here understands, I'm fighting for my husband supernaturally. The police guy pulls her off his body, she breaks free, reaches over and grabs his leg and yells, Michael, come back into your body now. Notice it wasn't even in the name of Jesus and it wasn't the word of the Lord says. She just commanded her husband to come back here. Well, Michael was up in heaven. I want you to know what your dear departed loved ones are doing the moment they get there. I want to tell you, heaven is such a beautiful place, they don't want to come back here. And worse yet, they're asking for you to join them, which is the same as praying for your quick death. Because they want you to be with them in that beautiful place. There's no real sense of, you know, unfinished business down here. It's like, ooh, I belong here. Well, he's up there talking to Jesus. And Jesus says, you have a political calling on your life, Michael. You're called to government. That's why I want you guys to think about government and education and business. An unfinished prophetic assignment is the secret to defying premature death. Michael had a call to government. And the Lord said, you're called into the government, Michael. And so if the agreement, agree with this calling, because I'm going to send you back. Michael says, I want to stay here, bring Phyllis and Caleb here. No. Then the Lord shows him this lake. He sees a lake. And he sees out of the lake comes these islands. Islands, and then as there's this shaking, he said. He could see the shaking of the oceans, but out of them comes islands of stability. And in the middle was ordinary people. Ordinary people just like you sitting there or me standing up here in my daughter's t-shirt. And the Lord said, those are my people and they're ruling over their territory. Meaning, you're given an assigned sphere to have authority over. You're not supposed to be pushed around. Governments up there do what they do, but when it comes down, trickles down to you, this house, this business, this territory belongs to God, and I'm stewarding it. It's my part of the kingdom. You have authority in that area. As I'm telling you, the revelation God gave a man, it was 40 minutes dead. Kind of hard to argue with somebody who comes back from the dead. Next thing you know, Jesus is looking at him. Michael knows, uh-oh. And Phyllis is saying, come back into your body now. And he goes right out. Into that body. Within 24 hours, he's up. Now, the moment that he went back in his body, how do you think unbelief in the medical community responds to a resurrection? It's really weird how people are programmed a certain way. Instead of being like, oh, that's phenomenal. What happened there? What did you just do? Quick, get the paramedics. Here's the doctors are there. She says, come back into your body now. And all of a sudden, all these diodes go beep, beep, beep. Oxygen, he's breathing again. They're like, they jump back. They're shocked. He's been without breath for like 38 minutes or 40 minutes. Brain dead. So that's exactly what the doctor says. He turns to Phyllis Krotz, and he says, now you've done it. What? It will be fortunate if we can even retain him in a coma. And if he even came out of that coma after 40 minutes without oxygen, he won't even have a memory. Half of his memory is wiped out. It's like your hard drive just went, got erased. Well, she thought, oh no. Poor young Christian didn't know. She thought maybe she was doing something wrong. She had a vision of her wheeling around her husband with tubes in his nose for the rest of his life and him not knowing who she is. Well, within a day, the Lord completely restored his memory, his body, his health, and he ran for office 4 times and got elected. The day he dies, he calls me up. Lance, haven't talked to you in a long time. I really believe that seven mountain revelation that we've got here, that's what God was showing me in heaven with those islands. I am convinced that what you're preaching is what Jesus showed me. I just didn't have language for it. It was in education. It was in government. It was in media. It was in arts. It was in business. It was in this medical profession. Wherever God's people are, they put a divine veto on Satan's control over that territory. That's where they're administrating. You got to get that mentality in your head, or you're going to feel like, oh, woe is me, waiting for the rapture. You're called to occupy till he comes, not be preoccupied with when you go. I'm going to say that again. You're called to occupy till he comes. By the word, how many of you are in business? How many of you own a business or are in business? Put your hand up if you own a business or in business. I should really work with you because I got an entrepreneurial anointing. I came out of the business world into the preaching world, being a rabbi like. But here's the reality. Let me see your hands again. You got an independent business? Maybe we'll get like Mercedes to get that QR code thing for I'm working in every state with a group. I'm trying to work with the independent business owners to get this mentality into them. The word occupy is used only once in Greek. It refers to transacting business. So let me give you the Lance Wall Now Hebrew Ashkenazi Jew literal translation. Jesus was saying, do business till I come. So I don't care what happens with the economy, you're going to be doing business till he comes. Because your business isn't limited by earth. It's a heaven business. Does that make sense? Oh, Holy Ghost is here. So here's what the word of the Lord says. Verse 16. On this Passover time, God who divides the seas is dividing you from Phoenix or dividing you from the darkness. He's separating you from the earth. And he's separating you unto his divine kingdom administration so that you could be what Michael saw, standing on the territory. And the literal thing Michael said is the Lord said, they're ruling in their kingdom. I thought that was such weird language. I thought this isn't even good theology. Their kingdom, it's his kingdom. But here's the thing, you're a steward of his kingdom. But instead of treating like a renter, how many of you know people abuse a property they rent, they take care of a property they own? Too many Christians have a rental attitude towards the earth and the nations. You're supposed to be owning things, not merely renting things. Don't confuse the idea that you're on a pilgrimage passing through with the fact that God had an inheritance for Abraham. It was territory. Why do you think they're going through hell right now in Israel? Because there's a little sliver of land. God said, I think I'll start there. Whole world was obsessed with a little sliver of land in the Middle East. Because God said, I'll take that real estate there and start there. I'll take the whole earth from that place. But here's the verse the Lord gave me to give you, and then I'm going to introduce my guest speaker. I put my words in your mouth. I've covered you in the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, you, church, ecclesia, you are my people. How do you plant the heavens? When God puts his words in your mouth, where's Hal and Cheryl? Is Hal Sachs here? Hal, for instance, right here. Wonderful friend of mine right down here in Arizona has a great intercessory ministry. You plant the heavens when your prophetic prayers, travails, and decrees are hitting the spirit realm so profoundly that you're dislodging principalities, powers, and low-level devils, and angels are stepping into that territory. What the pastor said is there's a lot more going on than you see. There is an invisible realm. And when you're planting heavens, you're positioning God's armies by your obedience in the way you pray, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you prophesy. Boom, boom, something is empowering in the heavens. When the angel broke through to Daniel, after like 21 days of Daniel wrestling, the angel comes through and he says, hello, I've come, man greatly beloved, I've come for your words. What does that mean? It means the way that you were praying was pulling me through the warfare and the resistance. And because you put the anchor down here and God's word was in your mouth and you were praying with the anointed prayers, that frequency authorized me to keep pushing till I got to you. Thanks for hanging in there, Tiger. Plant the heavens. But then we have to lay the foundation of the earth. That's where the activism comes from. Faith without works is dead. Praying without voting is useless. Voting and doing nothing else is marginal. The mornings is really meant to raise up prophetic evangelist reformers who know how to occupy territory in the earth realm because they know how to plant things in the spirit realm. This is profound teaching. I don't have any more time to talk about it. I just pray, you get it. Like Neo, plug into the matrix, pray in tongues. It'll make sense to you later. But God is literally saying, I'm putting my words in your mouth. I told you about that weird thing about my doctor friend who usually goes on these trips with me. Sid Ray's a Jewish doctor. He meets Sid Roth at the spa or something at the hotel or where, the neighborhood thing. And there's Sid Roth, Jewish evangelist. I said, well, what did Sid say? How did you become a Christian? He said, well, I went up to him. I said, hi. And I was going to go work out. And he said, brother, has God circumcised your heart? He said, I was so shocked by that. I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, wait a second. Sid Roth's evangelism line was, has God circumcised your heart? He said, I know. It was the oddest thing, but I couldn't get those words out of my head. I went home and I thought, what does it mean to be circumcised heart? I didn't know what he was talking about, but it made me so fixated because I know I'm going to run into that crazy Jewish guy again. I should know what he's talking about. I saw the word revival in the newspaper, and I just told my wife, who's a doctor, let's just go. And he went and sat in the back row, heard the gospel, it made sense, came forward, and got born again. My point is this. You don't even have to worry about having the right words. If God puts the words in your mouth, you could say something like as absurd as Sid Roth, and it gets fruit because God is setting up the harvest for you.